A beautiful day. This is the shank of summer. Such a gorgeous time of year. It's been so beautiful in Lake Wobegon. The yards, the lawns have never looked more beautiful than they do right now. If you've ever been involved with a yard, you know how much work it is. And you walk by and see these flower beds and this grass and the gardens out back and the tomatoes and the cucumbers and the melons and the strawberry beds. Great year for strawberries. And you know that the amount of work that went into making this yard, somebody could have written a book instead. They could have invented a car that would run on grass clippings. They could have done all sorts of things. But instead they made this. This is a public work of beauty. This is for our benefit. It's not for their benefit. I mean, they could pull the shade so easily and just hide back there and look at pictures in the National Geographic if they wanted to. They could just watch video on television of beautiful lawns and gardens. No, this is for our benefit. I'm grateful to all of them. I rebelled against this, of course, when I was your age, and I thought it was mindless work. But now that I know what mindless work really is, it takes on a little more dignity. I was up in Lake Wobegon and walked into the Chatterbox Cafe and overheard this conversation. I heard Los Angeles mentioned. I heard California. And it was the Tollefson boy who was talking about maybe going out to Los Angeles. And his friend was there with him, and he was saying, oh, he knew somebody. He'd gone out to Los Angeles, and it was just terrible. And you've got to be crazy to even think of a thing like that. How would you ever get out there? And the Tollefson boy said, hitchhike. I hadn't heard that word hitchhike in a long time. We used to hitchhike. We haven't, that I'm aware of, for decades and decades. It just isn't done anymore. But we used to imagine that we would, and then we'd go and do it. Nowadays, the only people I see out alongside the road are old men my age who are holding up cardboard signs, and the signs say something like, Vietnam vet, homeless, need work, please, God bless you, have a nice day. And they're not hitchhiking. They're walking very slowly. They're standing by the entrance ramp to the freeway. No, this boy was telling the Tollefson kid that this was insane. These two high school graduates, one with big ideas and the other one cautioning him against them. And you just wished that the Tollefson boy had heard about his own father, Bill Tollefson. I know Bill very well. And back when he graduated from high school, we had a classmate, Leeds Cutter, who talked about going to Los Angeles, and Bill Tollefson said, you must be crazy to even think about that. And Leeds Cutter went out to Los Angeles, and he got a job as a personal assistant to an assistant producer, and he was smart, and he was honest, and he worked hard, and he moved right up through the ranks. He leapfrogged over the stealthy and the craven, and he became a producer, and he produced this big blockbuster movie called Tornadoes. And he fell in love with the star, Corinne Caramia, and they got rich and famous, and they bought a farm in Vermont, and they have honeybees there, and they harvest maple syrup. He had a run of awfully good luck. You've got to be prepared to be lucky. Meanwhile, Bill Tollefson, who stayed back in Lake Wobegon, he blew his nose hard one morning, and it affected something in his inner ear, and he lost his balance, and he fell, and he banged his head against the bathtub, and he was never the same after that. He just kept losing car keys. He was just a man who lived in perpetual confusion. Caution is not always the best policy. You take a look at this show, and there you see it, 40 years. I tell you, people, if you had listened to the first episode of A Prairie Home Companion, If you had listened to this show at the beginning, you said, you know, perhaps you people ought to find something else to do. But a combination of blind luck, ignorance, and perseverance was what saw us through. So, well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. A lot of rain this week, raining most days this week, the sound of rain on the roof, and the river's been running high, which looks terrible on the TV news, and so our friends back east call and ask if we're all right, and it's nice of them to worry about us. We're fine, but, you know, when people are concerned about you, you don't want to turn down their interest, you know, and so we say, well, we'll make it, you know. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise somehow. When people are worried about you, you know, you ought to accept that and not reject it. And this wet spring means that the strawberries have just been absolutely amazing, just so bountiful and so beautiful. Strawberries are high in antioxidants. You probably know all of that, and vitamin C as well, and manganese and potassium, and much more, and help to prevent heart disease and stroke, and help to prevent Alzheimer's. And a cup of them has about 49 calories, and they also help to prevent Alzheimer's. And when you eat strawberries, you are showing your love of life. And then when you put strawberries together with rhubarb, which is also high in antioxidants and fiber and minerals and B-complex vitamins and vitamin K, which fends off Alzheimer's, and calcium and iron and vitamin K, which fends off Alzheimer's. You combine strawberries and rhubarb in a pie, and you have something powerful. You have found the food of the gods. You really, this is the secret of the good life. People who were peaked, who had lost their interest in life, who were talking about illnesses of various kinds and talking about, you know, how nothing is the same and the whole country is sliding down the slippery slope towards the abyss. You serve them a slice of strawberry rhubarb pie and they perk up. And they talk about getting on a plane, going to Oslo, going to Copenhagen, going to Stockholm, seeing the world, Russia, just to go and see it. They talk about somebody they remember from one night in New Orleans, and there was a little club, and there was a piano player, and there was a drink called a Sazerac, and there was a slow dance by the window that somehow went out onto the street and traffic stopped. They remember all of this, and then they forget what came afterward. They served this strawberry rhubarb pie at the Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church Choir's banquet, their awards banquet, though there were no awards to be given out this year. I mean, the tenors were inaudible, and the sopranos were screechy, and the basses, the two of them, were about a half bar behind on everything they sang. If it hadn't been for the altos, there wouldn't have been any music at all. But these people dug into the pie, and out of the blue, they just sat there and they sang a cappella, all the songs they knew. They sat there for about an hour just singing for the pleasure of it. And afterwards, they hugged, which Lutherans don't do. They try not to. But deer flies are around too, so you see there's always this other side of summer. Deer flies, they come out in the heat of the day, and especially down near the water, near the lake, and they're vicious. They make a mark on you. If you've been around where deer flies were, you will never model bikinis ever for the rest of your life. That's an occupation which is closed off to you. They leave a permanent mark on you, deer flies. It was a deer fly bite back in 1969 that moved the head teller at the bank, Muriel Anderson, to embezzle $250,000, back when $250,000 meant something, from the bank. She lived by herself in a little stucco bungalow, and she was a grandmotherly woman with little steel-rimmed glasses and a high bosom, and she taught Sunday school, for heaven's sake, but it was a deer fly bite, and she scratched it, which you should never do. And the poison, and so she took $250,000, and she went down to Buenos Aires, and she bought herself a house with a red tile roof by a big swimming pool, and an olive-skinned man named Ramon who rubbed oil on her bare back. It all came from a deer fly bite. From who knows how this may affect you. I mean, she was a good woman until this happened. It was a deer fly that caused those 22 Lutheran pastors to mob towards the bow of that pontoon boat going across the lake. A deer fly was following them. These things can go as fast as a horse. You should never, ever try to outrun a deer fly. They goosed the engine on the pontoon boat, and that deer fly kept after them. They all moved forward, and the boat just went down, bow first, and the barbecue in the stern tipped over, and red-hot coals came bouncing along the deck towards them. And luckily, they went into deep water. It was 10 feet deep at that point. So they were submerged, and the red-hot coals did not land on them. But it was all due to deer flies. That was the whole thing. On the other hand, it was a deer fly bite on the groin, which caused the Whippets pitcher, Whiplash Wilson, to make that odd little leg move in his windup. He sort of pulls his leg up over the groin as if a deer fly were coming after him. And he throws sidearm, and that leg motion puts a little English on the ball so that the ball comes up and in on a right-handed hitter. And so they won again on Sunday. They beat Avon 5-3. And now the Whippets cheerleaders are back. They quit 3 years ago. They gave up. The cheerleaders, the young women in the poodle skirts and the little jerseys with the profile of the dog on it, and they're back. WOBEGON. We said it once. We said it again. WHIPPET. We're so proud that we could be woof 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 woof. Whippets, Whippets, Whippets. So. It has two sides, as everything does. Look out for deer flies. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are better.